You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Welcome to the BFM studio, Russell Brown.
Kia ora.
Now, obviously, very sad to hear the news this morning that Hamish Coogar had passed away.
Yeah. He had been missing for a few days and worries were growing and the family seemed to be worried, but it was a hell of a shock this morning. I was quite a mess this morning, actually.
Mm-hmm. Such a seminal figure in the New Zealand music history.
Yeah, absolutely. And Hamish is that to Flying Nun in particular, not just because of his playing, which was extremely distinctive, but because of sort of who he was. You know, he's had a certain rigour about him, and at the same time he was a lifelong eccentric. But yeah, he played a big role. He actually even worked in the Flying Nun office in Christchurch for a while as well. But of course he's best known for being in The Clean, who formed in 1978 in Dunedin, and there was really nothing else like them. There's been plenty of New Zealand bands since who've owed a debt to The Clean, but there wasn't really anyone that sounded like that. And yeah, they were two brothers who surfed and listened to krautrock, you know, which no one really listened to back then. That was odd. They were kind of spiky and different, but clearly had something. And they came up to Auckland and lived here for a short while. Had a lot of fun, played some gigs, went back to Dunedin, recorded in Christchurch Tally Ho, which was, depending on how you count it, was either the first or the second Flying Nun release, the 7-inch single. It goes for ridiculous money now, but also was remastered and reissued this year. And then after that came Boodle Boodle Boodle, which is really the record that made Flying Nun possible. Matt Goody's new book makes that really clear. Basically, it was the money made by sales of Boodle Boodle Boodle, an EP recorded in a funny little scout hall on Bond Street on a 4-track. It still sounds amazing. That's been re-released and remastered as well. But it sold incredibly well. It went into the top 20. New Zealand charts were weird back then. And that really funded everything else.
Was that through student radio at the time that really gave it this big push?
Yeah, student radio was important even back then. Student radio was kind of getting on its feet back then. I mean, at that point, I think everyone was still AM.
Yes.
But student radio was how you heard all this stuff. You know, in all the university towns.
Extensive touring as well at the time? Live shows?
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, the bands that toured a lot in those days that played every town tended to be the pub bands. But it was still a lot easier to just get on and tour and probably stay on your mate's couch.
Yes.
You know, that was, yeah, there was a lot of community and sharing, which was what made it possible. You'd borrow gear and that kind of thing. After the huge success of Boodle Boodle Boodle, they released one more record, Getting Older, ironically, and and broke up. And what was that? It was 83.
Wow.
Or no, 82. Because Fiona and I actually travelled down to Dunedin and went to their supposed last gig at the Cook. Which I can't remember much about. But
yes. Must have been a great time.
It was. It was a very good time.
So they, obviously, as time passed, there was more and more interest in what Flying Nun was doing from abroad. Did that spark some of the fire to get back together in the 90s?
Yeah, it did. And because they did kind of reform not long after as The Great Unwashed and made Clean Out of Our Minds, which was, they were just sick of being in The Clean. It had all gotten a bit much for them. And that record's amazing. They recorded it at their mum's place.
Just casually in the lounge.
It's sort of like the sound of taking LSD in the morning or something.
Yeah.
It's this gentle, slightly psychedelic kind of record. And then it got quieter. And Hamish actually joined the first version of Bail to Space who were Nelsh Bail to Space, and recorded a song with them called In Love With These Times, which I think we have here, don't we?
Yeah, we do, we do.
This is actually a good song to listen to get an idea of Hamish's philosophy. It's actually, he wrote it with the Clean in like 1979, so.
Huh. Let's listen to it. Far out, what a track.
Yeah, it throbs, doesn't it? Two things about that track. One is Hamish's snare drum.
Right.
Your mental image of Hamish playing is crouched over the snare drum. The man, I don't think he ever played a fill in his life.
Yeah.
But that motoric, you know, they came from being krautrock fans.
Mm.
That motoric drumming. I think that's as big a part of the band's, of the Clean, as David's guitar. I mean, David's an extraordinary guitarist, but the other part of that is, you know, is Hamish's urge. Yeah, it's kind of mad rigor.
Yeah.
You know, we're not wandering anywhere. And the other thing is there's a bit of Hamish's politics in that as well. Great line in there. People turning into corporations, corporations turning on people.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And he was kind of an anarchist. And, you know, and basically lived his life as a bohemian. He didn't have many possessions. You know, most of us, you know, who play music or are involved in the music scene eventually kind of get serious and have kids and, you know, get a mortgage or something. Hamish never did that. But anyway, so he didn't. The Nelsh Bail to Space, as that first version of Bail to Space, didn't last very long. Hamish went to New York, and that looked like that was it. And then in 1988, the chance came up because David Kilgour and his partner were going to be in London.
Mm.
And it was like, well, how about everyone converges there and we'll have a little reformation?
Mm-hmm.
And I have such incredibly fond memories of of that, because we took them places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your friends are coming to London, so I went and booked tickets to Prince. And also took them to the last night of the trip, which was one of the original Acid House clubs.
Right.
Which was absolute bedlam. And probably my favourite story of Hamish is, so deep into the night, thinking, oh, I haven't seen Hamish for a while. Shit, doesn't usually do this sort of thing. I hope he's okay. Mm. Oh, God. I was just about to go and look for him. And then I happened to glance behind me. And there was Hamish on a podium, high as a kite, dancing.
Yeah.
And it was like, I can't wait to tell the people in New Zealand that the saint of Dunedin indie music.
Honestly, what a great ambassador for the country.
Right? It was. They had a really good time. It was nice to be able to take them there and just show them this other kind of music. And they got it. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And then they came back the following year, 89, because in the interim, Jeff Travis at Rough Trade had seen them first playing, you know, in 88 and said, this is amazing.
Mm.
I will put up the money for an album. So this is actually the first album they made. It was Vehicle. And it kind of stands alone in the clean canon. It's, you can sort of see it leading into David's solo work, you know, and it's a spiky little pop album. And if you talk to people in Britain, that's the one they know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, less so some of the earlier stuff, maybe. It's a really good record. And I recall from the recording sessions there at Point Studios that it was actually a pretty happy time as well.
Mm.
You know, it was a fun, relaxed recording session, and they had all these songs. They had a lot of songs, you know, because you had Robert Scott there as well. Actually, I think the one we're about to play, Dunes, is a Robert Scott song. So perhaps we could listen to that.
Sick of the smoky town, so we took the lunchtime snack.
That snare is getting a good beating.
It is, yeah. Yeah, the Hamish snare. So ever since that time where it was sort of established that they could actually get together and play again and have a good time and make mm-hmm. a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So the things that had made them stop playing in the first place were dealt with. So and they played periodically, you know, once every couple of years in the States. And of course, by that time in the States, they were huge in, right. in that college radio scene. We sort of forget the way that some of those seminal New Zealand bands are really seen as gods. I mean, I saw one American record shop. They posted a video of the Clean playing there a few years ago and posited that the Clean were the first indie rock band.
Mm.
Right. That's how they're seen over there. it's quite big. And Hamish did all kinds of things, played in the band called The Mad Scene, who are quite a groovy little band, made a couple of solo albums. And I think this is kind of a really good example of how open and approachable he was. You know, he was kind. Tiny Ruins was in New York in 2015, had no money, no budget for a band, and a tour booked. And he said, well, I'll come along and, you know, be your percussion.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up making a 7-track record together, Hurtling Through, which is a quite a neat little record. And again, it's that Hamish rigor on the snare adds, you know, just he brings that to everything. And that's a really cool little record. And I think today on Facebook, you know, people like Dan Sperber are sharing stories of sort of that open, amiable, kind Hamish. And he was, you know, also someone who could piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he blocked the use of any of the Clean's material for The Art of Flying Nun last year, which was a shame. I could sort of see where he was coming from because they never got what they were due from Flying Nun.
Right.
Especially given that they basically bankrolled everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a shame and that pissed some people off. But, you know, if you're going to be someone who lived like Hamish did, you're going to occasionally piss people off, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think we've lost a really, you know, a real original. I've never met anyone like Hamish.
Mm.
Yeah, so I imagine there'll be some drinking and some playing of music going on in the next few days.
Mm.
Certainly. Shall we play this Tiny Ruins and Hamish
Cool Girl number? Okay, have we got time for that?
Yeah. What, it's up to you, Russell.
Okay, if we've got time for it before 5 o'clock, wait, play the Tiny Ruins because it's quite neat.
Okay.
On the East Coast, you will
Kilgour hurtling through tiny ruins in Hamish Kilgour. Rest in peace. I tell you what I did do this morning, though, was I played the track we're about to listen to, which is from Boodle Boodle Boodle, quite loud on my deck, and then I thought, no, the neighbourhood needs to hear a bit more of that, and played it really loud on my deck, and it just it's the remastered version. It just sounds magnificent, and again, I just focused on that Hamish snare, and it just drives everything along. And this actually is a record that I'm going to have played at my own funeral. It's on the list.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Along with I Feel Love. So, yeah, I'll go into the plans on another occasion. but, yeah, I think this is the Cleans' opus. It's Point That Thing Somewhere Else, one of the earlier songs that they wrote. I've heard them play it so many times. I've heard them play it for up to 20 minutes. And I've also heard them play it without a guitar, which is pretty amazing. Just David up the front with a keyboard. But this music's in my DNA. So thanks, guys.
Cheers, Russell.
Thank you.
Less light. Less light.
I picked the wrong one, apparently.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's there are no bad versions, but we may as well. I did announce it as the one on the record that was recorded in Bond Street. So let's
get that one.
Let's get with that one. Let's just point that thing somewhere else.
I reckon that's the one.
This one here,
surely.
That's it.
Sheesh, we got there. Sorry, team. Here we go.
Turn it up.
Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.